You know, if there were no YouTube, I also wouldn't know that Chris Collinsworth was once dining at a restaurant in Cincinnati when it was like one of those boat restaurants, but it's docked, obviously. And then it just came unmoored and it crashed down the river. And Chris Collinsworth had to be rescued from a boat. People forget. What were we talking about?
Welcome to highly whoa, well, hold on. Welcome to Highly Questionable, where we learn things about Chris Collinsworth that I had no idea about. By the way, kids, Chris Collinsworth was really fast. That's Katie Nolan. That is Mike Golic Jr. Welcome home, brother. I left. Let's go.
Are you ready to say everything is all good with Dak and the Cowboys?
Oh boy, it is that time of year where this is what we got to do to call something news. Welcome to 2021, by the way, where we go to Instagram for this. Now, Blake Jarwin, tight end for the Cowboys, he put this up on Instagram and he says, how about we run this back? And Dak Prescott then took it and put it in his Instagram story and said, that's the only way I see it. And does that mean that everything is all good with the Cowboys? Everything is all the same as it's ever been with the Cowboys. At some point, Dak Prescott is going to sign a ginormous extension to play quarterback for the Cowboys because he's too good for them to let him walk. And there honestly really isn't a much better job in the world than being quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. You think we see Tony Romo acting like a psychic on television if he played quarterback for any other team? No, there's all that money on the back end. Dak wants to get his hands on that. It's just a matter of them figuring out exactly how they're going to get it done. I don't know how they're going to get it done, but the game theory on it says pretty clearly they are going to get it done.
Yeah, and my heart immediately and my brain immediately went to the poor 21-year-old intern that was a part of making and putting up that highlight video that can now breathe a sigh of relief because this has at least been righted on the territory they are responsible with. Social media has now said, okay, this isn't going to be my fault. He still clearly wants some part of this. But I'm with you, Bomani, and I think it's almost good that we get this and kind of refocus because we have spent the last few months deservedly slandering the Houston Texans for their ability to screw up and ruin a good thing with a star quarterback, forgetting that Dallas has spent the better part of a year and a half trying good and damn hard to do that same exact thing. And so now to see the focus driven back here and to see Dak making sure he controls the park, because we know how this all goes, where the team is going to try and come out and Jerry Jones is going to say, look at all this leverage he's got and look at all this money we've offered him. And Dak is making very clear, I want to be here. You guys know the terms. No one get it twisted.
Yeah, that's exactly what it feels like to me. Because social media is the only place where if you get out ahead of it early enough as an athlete, you can kind of control the narrative. And so Dak is saying without saying, I want to be here. Like, I didn't not put me in a highlight video of the future of what our team is supposed to look like. The quarterback. I know we're letting the social media intern off the hook or whatever, but that doesn't seem like a social media intern's decision to have made a hype video without the quarterback. Jerry has been saying for a long time now that a deal is imminent. And now it feels like he wants to wait as long as he wants to sign it and also get a discount on Dak. And I feel like as long as you wait, the more the money is going to go up. And so it feels to me like, yes, he will probably sign it, but what in the world are they waiting for? It's not something that's going to come if what they're waiting for is for Dak to get cheaper in this market. It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I don't know if it's a matter of waiting on Dak to get cheaper as much as maybe they're hoping Dak won't be so proud of what it is that he is asking for. Because I have never seen a situation where a team is as upfront as the Cowboys have been about the leverage that another party had in a contract situation, right? They've been very clear. Dak has all the leverage. They know Dak has all the leverage. And guess what that means? He's probably out there flexing it. I don't know how hard he is flexing it, but I think the Cowboys do have the right to say, damn, dog, up that much? And then they're probably going to pay it.
Where do you want to see J.J. Watt play next year?
Man, the false equivalencies came out on Friday when J.J. Watt was released. And it was like, how come J.J. Watt can ask for his release and get one, but Deshaun Watson can't get a trade when they ask him? And the answer is, they were going to release J.J. Watt anyway. The reason they were going to release J.J. Watt, he's coming off a 5-sack season and was set to make $18 million next year. That's why he's not a Houston Texan anymore. So when people ask this question, where do I want to see J.J. Watt play next year? I just like to see him play in the NFL. Do you realize that in his 10 years in the NFL, J.J. Watt has played all of 6 full seasons, right? We've had a couple seasons in the last 5 that are like J.J. Watt plays 5 games. J.J. Watt plays 6 games. physically, I don't know what you wind up getting from him. So, like, if you're a team like the Packers, yeah, you'd like to have him. If you want the novelty of playing with all his brothers, yeah, the Steelers, you would like to have him. But the biggest thing is, how much does J.J. Watt actually have left in the tank? And I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, so the names that I've heard being thrown around, there's the Packers because he's Wisconsin, you know, that's where he went and big superstar there. There's Chicago, which is because I believe his wife plays it for Chicago, and so he could go there. And then there's the conversation about the Steelers because that's where his brothers TJ and Derek, DJ, play. Now, here's my thing. I understand that that would be cool, but I'm actually not okay with us just starting to raise football families. We live in a world where we've got like the Gronks that are, you know, doing it. The Watts are doing it. Phillip Rivers is very close to being able to field a team himself. I don't think we should get into a world where it's like your entire family can be about playing football so that you can all play football together. Things are going to get very confusing. So I think it only makes sense for him to go to the Browns where he would have to play against his brothers and then we could see them really bring it. I would like to see J.J. Watt, to answer the question, go to the Browns.
Now, Mike Golic Jr., tell us everything that's wrong with football families.
Felt like Katie really saved that one up for today in a way that I am not comfortable with. Proud to represent the bootleg longs over here and say that, you know what, speaking of that, playing against your brother was something I thankfully never had to do, and watching Chris Long and Kyle Long have to do it in the NFL did not seem appealing because no one wants to be on the other side of that when the show is public for everybody. So I think that's an interesting thing to consider because I think the Browns are a really viable option here. Having to go through the AFC and knowing Patrick Mahomes is going to be the boss that you face at the end of the video game is kind of a tough lot in life for a guy who's one of his principal drives here is I want to finally have the chance to play for a Super Bowl in a way I've been deprived for my whole career. And so from that standpoint, I think Green Bay makes the most sense. That's going to be a team that's so reliant on offense in the way they were this year anyway. That group looks like it's going to come back loaded, hopefully. And so maybe, Bomani, to your point, you could have J.J. Watt not have to be used or relied on as frequently when you've got the Smiths there that are going to bogart most of the attention pass rush-wise.
Yo, can we get J.J. Watt on some teams that feel like a little less J.J. Watt-y? Because let's all be honest here. We out here talking about the Packers, the Steelers, all the gritty lunch pail teams and all of this stuff. No. I want him to be like Derek Wolf was when he was playing with the Broncos, where you look around and you're like, who am I supposed to sit next to on the bus?
Up next on HQ.
But honestly, my first reaction was just, I was glad he was wearing pants. Like, you get real comfortable in locker rooms with this whole idea of nudity, and there's no coming back from seeing your coach naked. That's not a thing that you get to walk back mentally ever.
Do you question if Tom Brady owes Silversmith everywhere an apology?
All right, yeah, so Tom Brady, they had their Super Bowl boat parade, and he was out there looking like they opened a TB12 distillery. Anyway, here he is. Yo, what are you doing? And the answer is throwing the Lombardi trophy.
Even he realized what a bad idea that was right after.
But his plan was it ain't gonna come up short, which could have worked out really bad for somebody behind him. But there we go. Now, what we have here is an interview with Leslie Delaspore of Fox 4 with the daughter of the silversmith who created the first Lombardi trophy.
And it takes a lot of work, a lot of hard work, a lot of hours go into it. It just really upset me that this trophy was disgraced and disrespected by being thrown as if it was a real football. I didn't sleep for the past two nights because of this. I was that upset.
What?
Because I know the passion that goes into this trophy and how my dad and all his fellow silversmiths are so proud to make this. I personally would like an apology.
What?
Not just to me and my family and the other silversmiths, but to the fans.
All right. So,
of the trophy?
Yeah. Like, number one, ma'am, I can't give you any specifics, but I'm pretty sure some things have happened around that trophy that, whoo boy, you'd be a lot madder about that than you were about this. And number two, Leslie Delaspor, we went out of our way to make sure to credit you for this. And I give you all the credit in the world because you left your office. You brought the team. Y'all set up the cameras. Y'all put up those lights. That woman started talking. And at least from what I can tell, you did not laugh in her face. And I personally do not have the temerity or like the constitution in my soul where I could have heard that and not be laughing dead in that lady's face.
I just think she's looking at it the completely wrong way. That's Tom Brady. The only thing he respects is football. He threw it like a football. He's also the best at throwing. He's very good at it. The person caught it. I would say that's how Tom Brady shows respect to things, is by doing what he's really good at to it. He respected it. I would let Tom Brady throw me. That would mean he respected me.
That is true. That is his love language here. But for a woman who claims to love silver and silversmithing so much, I am not seeing an awful lot of silver in the background anywhere in this. I'm seeing
great
a ton
point.
Of wood. I'm seeing a ton of other products. I am not seeing much silver. So I have to question if she's here for the right reasons
wow.
in all this, because she's going with the reverse Manfred, where she, instead of like calling the most important trophy in the sport trash, starts to try and treat it like some sort of religious artifact that's deserving of our worship here. Now I'm wondering where she's coming from at all.
Rob Manfred calling it a piece of metal to that woman was a compliment. She was like, thank you. It's a beautiful piece of metal.
Do you question if you're all in on the FCF?
All right, FCF is fan-controlled football. They were showing this on Twitch, and what's going on is the fans vote for the plays that are called. I thought this was the worst idea ever, and then I found out it was just 7-on-7. And so, like, okay, maybe nobody will get killed. Now, check out who they had in the broadcast booth, though.
I'm going to go ahead and throw back this Caesar salad with these croutons and all this.
I don't even need to tell you who this is.
Go ahead, take me a nice fat get my stomach all right. Oh, good. I'm going to go out here and try to run for 200 on a 50-yard field like was at.
Yes. Marshawn Lynch becoming beloved in America is one of the craziest things that has ever happened. Now, Johnny Football apparently plays in fan control football.
Stepping up now, taking himself to the 15. The 20 man's out of the
25. Oh!
Oh, yeah.
Look at that. He looks like the best player in fan control football, but he also looks like a dude who should be playing in fan control football. Now, watch how they do 2-point conversions. It's just 1-on-1.
What?
Right? This is a 2-point conversion. Yes.
Because I'm nice. Great route, great ball placement. It's all there.
I like the stool.
Those gentlemen look a little bit undersized. Now, Johnny Football left the game. They brought in his backup. Don't ask me his name.
From Marchie and the Zappers. I'm trying to figure out the team names.
I gave up on that. Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
Yo.
No.
What? This is Johnny Manziel's backup, you say?
Yes. I mean, he's his backup for now.
Oh, the audacity of that dive.
I gotta say, that looked pretty entertaining. Like, normally, watching football without good football players doesn't really work. They seem to got something going here, though.
I just want to know if the Beatles ended up beating the Zeppelins or whoever was even playing in that game, because the team name's Zap. What could that be short for? I don't know. Here's the thing. Any of these leagues that aren't major football, all you gotta do is look at the few things that the NFL is going to take from them when they destroy it. When they're like, yeah, this can't be a thing anymore, but we'll keep this, because they tend to do that. And I think the this that we should keep is Marshawn Lynch in the booth.
Completely agree. And I'm really proud of Lamar Jackson for waddling to the bathroom so that Marshawn could run here. Openly discussing poop is something we need to do more of. We play lip service to this idea that everybody poops. But then when it finally comes time, we talk about it in hushed tones. We push it off to the side. And Marshawn is here liberating this idea here. So this is a really proud moment for me and the rest of the people that have felt shunned from society for so long.
Mike, speak your truth. How was your poop today?
No, Mike. Don't speak your truth. Hold on. Wait a minute. How does she get to decide that you get to speak the truth on this? No. There's a reason why we don't talk about it, because there's no reason to talk about it. No, it's not entertaining.
Well,
listen, as the only person in this group of three right now that would have unfortunately been playing in that league as a not so proud alumnus of the FXFL, one of the other former failed side hustle leagues that surrounded pro football's orbit, I would have probably been 5 or 6 years ago out there on that field with those guys. I could only hope that whoever was in the booth was discussing anything other than me being replaced as the center by a damn stool. That is the one thing we do not take as
it's
I speak
really,
for the center's
really
union
poetic,
right now.
If you think about it, you being replaced by stool after advocating for poop.
Do you question if Eric Musselman should be this fired up about beating Missouri?
All right, Eric Musselman is coaching Arkansas these days. They just beat number 10 Missouri. Arkansas and Missouri, it's a bit of a rivalry. They share a border. They're in the Ozarks. So how charged up was it?
That's what's up! Oh, my God.
Whoa. Whoa. I thought he was taller than that. They can do it all over him.
That's what's up!
Break us down, coach.
Family on three. One, two, three.
Family. Yo, look at how he had to reach up in order to be part of the process. Good for you. I'd be excited if I was him.
When he runs in, notice he doesn't drop his fists. At first, he's like, going to keep these here.
That's what's up.
He's like, don't look. Don't look. Don't look at it. Oh, geez, don't hurt me.
I'm not gonna lie, remarkably well. I was amazed most coaches do not keep themselves in the kind of shape that would have you comfortably running into a locker room. I understand it's basketball, but honestly, my first reaction was just, I was glad he was wearing pants. Like, you get real comfortable in locker rooms with this whole idea of nudity, and there's no coming back from seeing your coach naked. That's not a thing that you get to walk back mentally ever, so I'm just proud of him for wearing pants.
True story. I have a friend who did a radio interview once. He's working in radio, and he went to interview with Bobby Bowden, and Bobby Bowden said, if you're going to do the interview, you got to do it right now. And it was before Bobby Bowden got in the shower, and he was just sitting in his chair in some tidy whities while my man is like, so, about the first quarter.
On ESPN Plus, Peyton Manning's detail.
All right, this is pretty interesting, listening to Peyton Manning break down these things. Now, one thing about Peyton Manning is he cannot hide his petty when he does this, but he couldn't be petty about an offensive lineman like dropping the ball in the Super Bowl, could he?
Anytime you bring an extra offensive lineman into the game, what does the defense think? Hey, they're not going to throw the ball to him. They're going to run block, so it's got to be a run play. Nice play action fake here by Tom. Got the guard pulling. It's that trap pass action again. Haig, he does a nice job. He comes out. Okay, he's blocking. That's what he's supposed to do, says the defense. Oh, he's not blocking. A little bluff fake there. He kind of clubs the guy to get by him. Maybe not really a club there, but a pretty good feat and release there. And Haig, I got to say, I mean, I'm sure you grew up saying, like a lot of kids, boy, I would love to catch a touchdown.
We have this in the budget?
How cool would that be, right, Joe?
He has it in the budget.
And all of a sudden you get in seventh and eighth grade and you're gaining a lot of weight.
Oh, my God.
You're probably going to be an offensive lineman. And that dream of catching a touchdown in the Super Bowl is just not going to happen. You still might play in the Super Bowl, but there's just no way you're going to catch one because you're a lineman. And that means no catches. It's kind of like in Teen Wolf, right? No wolf, no part, no 4-4 speed. No
height of athleticism, Peyton Manning talking out here.
Bruce Arians, Byron Leftwich, they're going to throw you a bone. They're going to say, hey, we heard it was your dream always to catch a touchdown.
What is he talking about?
We're going to give you this play action pass down here on the goal line. We're going to get the perfect defense. Tom Brady's going to throw the perfect ball, and we just
don't
pull it in. Nice recovery by the Chiefs linebacker. Not going to say that's an easy catch. Does Gronk catch that?
Because it's not.
Yes, he does. Does Brake catch that? Yes, he does. Does Haig catch it? No, he doesn't. Why? Because he's an offensive lineman, and that's just the way it is. And
the hell?
That'll be the last pass attempt ever to you in your career, Haig.
And wow.
You had a chance. It was in the Super Bowl. You could have been the MVP. Instead,
what?
Tom Brady's the MVP.
What?
I hadn't seen that clip, by the way. I just knew that he was going to say something petty. I would also like to note, seems to me that every time they put the extra offensive lineman out there, they throw the damn ball to him. Nobody's going to see it coming, but they never do, I guess. Katie, you intrigued?
I mean, yeah, I can't watch it because my ESPN Plus subscription has lapsed. But if I could, then maybe I would. That's just, he won the Super Bowl, man. That's the only reason that this isn't the meanest thing ever, is because, like, they still won. So I hope Haig is okay.
One, that's a joke with levels. And two, no, we don't get it for free. Mike, are you intrigued?
I'm intrigued because now Peyton Manning's got to square up with each and every one of us. I see why Jeff Saturday was always in NFL films on the sideline dog cussing Peyton Manning out, because this is apparently how he wants to act when Jesus comes back. This is where you want to be, is making fun of Hay going out here and doing his best. Because I'll take you guys behind the curtains. When you got the fun love and offensive lineman score plays, guess how many times you rep that in practice? Probably twice during the course of the week. And one's on a Friday when we're all in t-shirts and he catches the ball and everyone goes, yay, the fat guy caught it. Let's all have fun. We're never going to call this in a game. And he gets out there with limited reps and he executes at a high level. And Peyton Manning now made the full turn to media where he's going to focus on what someone didn't do instead of focusing on the great play that that linebacker made. That is full-blown hate, and Peyton has made the transition now, and it's disgusting. And he should feel ashamed of himself for what he did in that video.
Serious question. Who do you think wins a 40-yard dash, Haig or Peyton Manning? I got my money on Haig.
Same.
He's backpedaling the last 20 yards and looking at Haig.
I got $12.99 or whatever it costs.
This is the harshest criticism anyone has ever offered Peyton Manning on this network, and it is in defense of the offensive line.
I've watched some of those other things, and they have never spent money on graphics to do anything, let alone clown one man's one shining moment.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is our show. Check out Katie Nolan, Sports with a Question Mark. Check out Mike Golick, who just doesn't have this luxurious head of hair like I do.
Ooh, so much betrayal. Attacking.
I live between worlds.
Etu, Bamani.